Good morning. No, good afternoon. Does anybody need to stand up and stretch before we go into the seventh inning? Is that okay? Feel free to stand up, stretch, get a little blood back into those lower legs. We are continuing to look at God's provision for us in a call to majestic discipleship, to a discipleship that is far beyond simply human discipline or human effort or human commitment. And so we want to keep looking at that. We will launch today and continue next Sunday, so I won't even cover everything today that will pertain even to part one. And that's normal for us. That's not strange for us at all. But I want us to focus on one passage. And this is Philippians 1:6. This is a passage that almost all of you are familiar with. I refer to this passage pretty frequently. But as I was praying about where we're headed, where I'm headed personally, where we're headed as a church, where each of you are headed in this year, 2017... that we comprehend some things out of this passage. So it's one simple verse, Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And some of you may have different translations, and I don't remember what translation I got this from or what write-up on this passage I saw this rewording of it, but taking the Greek words and then turning them into sort of conversational English here, I want to suggest an awareness for you out of this passage so that Paul is saying this: I'm confident of this very thing. God did begin a work in you. So if you're here today and you've ever put your faith in Jesus Christ, that was God's doing. God had an idea and he pursued it, and the fruit of God's idea was to bring you to a point where you heard the gospel, you understood the gospel, it impacted your awareness that you needed a Savior, and you said yes to the offer of God. That was all the work of God. So this is not he who began a good work in you, and now you go back and you look, well, have I been doing a bunch of good work? That is not the question. The question is, did God launch me into this relationship with him? Yes, God launched you. He began this thing. It all started with him. In fact, it absolutely could not have started without his initiation. So that's the only question you and I need to ask is, did God start something in me? And if you're a believer and you put your faith in Christ, the strong answer to that is yes, God started something. And then Paul goes on to the second idea where he's saying, if God started something, he now has a commitment to finish that work in a particular way, to continue that work in a particular way. So my translation here in the New American Standard is, will perfect it. And actually, there are layers to the, again, to the Greek. I know I've said this about 5,000 times, so I'll say it 5,001. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I love depending on people who are. And this word doesn't mean what we mean, or at least what we could mean doctrinally by the word perfect. What it means is a mature blossoming of something, that something comes to its fullness of design. And there will be a day, we know, when God actually finishes the work and we are perfected in Christ. 1 John chapter 3 talks about that. But Paul is giving them confidence about something going on right now. And that's what I want us to try to get a handle on it and gain something from. Because what he's saying is, the God who began that good work in you now has an unbreakable commitment of his heart to continue that work, continuing to blossom and open up and mature and blossom and open up in you. He's committed to that. The God of the universe is committed to your growth. And part of what I want to encourage for myself and for each of us here is that we would decide that 2017 is absolutely going to be a year of supernatural growth in my walk with God. Absolutely going to be. Now, for some of you, you may be thinking, you're already thinking of a particular goal. Well, if I'm going to grow this year in my walk with God, I really got to go deeper into the Word. And others might be thinking, you know what? I really got to go deeper into sharing my faith with others more boldly. And some of you are thinking of an area of sin and thinking, man, if I'm going to really grow closer to God, I have got to gain victory over this area of sin. So actually, I would be strongly encouraging you in conversation with God, in that father-son, father-daughter love conversation, actually be envisioning what some of that growth would look like this year. So it's not just generic growth. You're envisioning already with God focused growth, specific growth. But here's the gain I would like to encourage for us out of this, that we're recognizing, Father, if you're already committed to my growth was just waiting for my vote. It wasn't waiting for God's vote. God's saying, I'm already fully in favor of this. I was just waiting for you to say, me too. I was waiting for you to say, I'm on board with that. I was waiting for you to say, I'm going to pursue that. So that's sort of the foundation. Now, just to finish up with the passage, he says, until the day of Christ Jesus. And basically what God is saying is, if Jesus has not returned yet, it's still time for this work of maturing. There will be a day when Christ returns, and God's going to keep working until that day. So you do not have to be afraid. And I don't know, well, actually, I do know this. I know that many of you, myself included, many of us, struggle at different times in our life where we feel like I screwed up so bad, I think God's done with me. Where we feel like, you know what, or I'm so lazy, I think God's done with me. Or there's been such a long, dry stretch between me and God, I think God's done with me. And not necessarily done with salvation, but just done with helping you. He's disgusted. He's finished. He's lost his patience. And that part of the gain of this passage is the recognition God can't quit. God can't lose his patience on this. So as you're looking into 2017, you and I get to say in agreeing with God, this will absolutely be a year of growth because the God of the universe is passionately prepared for that. Now, turn with me back to the passage but in 2 Peter where we have this. Starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Listen to this verse. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So when we're envisioning 2017 in agreeing with God as a year of growth, and we're agreeing with Paul and then Peter, who came to agree with it too and is now going to teach us about it, that our salvation, our standing with God, is rock solidly based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. You and I, in all of our growth in the year ahead, we will not add one iota to our worthiness to stand in God's presence unafraid. To our worthiness to stand in God's presence treasured and forgiven. That was all accomplished at the cross. But now, both Paul in a multitude of places and Peter is now telling us, but don't just settle for salvation. You and I have been given this amazing thing that I'm not being falsely humble here. I'm telling the truth. I barely understand what I'm talking about. That you and I have been called to keep growing in the divine nature. You and I have been called and equipped to keep growing in the very character of God because of Jesus Christ dwelling within us. So one of the things that flows from this, and I was envisioning this, in my spiritual growth through the years. And I can remember at about age 18 or 19 when I really comprehended, maybe for the first time in my life, this larger principle that Paul talked about in Galatians 2:20, that the Christian life is not me working to obey God and me working to serve God and me working, and God's the audience and he's sort of sitting there and he's going to evaluate my performance. Because if that's all it is, it's no different than any other human religion. That the core of Christianity that makes this different, aside from salvation through the death of Christ, is now that growth happens because of the presence and life of Jesus Christ in me. That I'm now sharing in the divine nature. I'm not copying the divine nature. I'm maturing and growing in the divine nature because Jesus actually dwells within me. And I don't know who the youngest Christian is in our group right here. So I see a few young ones in the front. I see young ones scattered about. And if I could get one thing into the brains of all of our young people, not just our young people, but our slightly older young people, and then our slightly younger old people, and then our old people. That in all of our minds, that starting with the youngest, that our congregation comprehends this. The Christian life is possible. Growth in the Christian life is only possible because Jesus Christ dwells within me. And getting that in our minds where it becomes a way of thinking and it becomes a prayer. It becomes conversation with God. So I like the way Sean was sharing when he was talking about this dilemma of conversation, and he didn't feel like he was making much headway with this young man. And then he says, oh, and then finally I thought about praying. And lest you judge Sean for that delay, I know you've done that. And I've done that. Where we struggle with something, we're seeking something, we're actually after a godly outcome. And at some point we realize, oh, I forgot the conversation. I didn't stop believing in the power of the conversation. I forgot to have the conversation. I forgot to have the conversation. And so this growth of faith and this growth of Jesus Christ dwelling with me isn't just a doctrine I carry in my back pocket. It will be powerless in my back pocket. It's got to be in my mouth. And I don't mean that to sound strange. My doctrine has to be in my mouth. Father, I can't do this alone. I'm asking for wisdom. Father, I care about this and I'm going to pray about this and then I'm going to be available to you, but I know that whatever I have to contribute here will only come because of your life, your spirit, your son, your gifting, your calling, your provision, your magnificent promises, your magnificent preparation for this exact moment. Father, I'm choosing what you prepared. That's what I mean by my faith has to be, my doctrine has to be in my mouth. And then I live it out based on that agreement, based on that conversation with God. So we're going to come back and we're going to keep looking at this stuff next week. So nobody who's here today is allowed to not return next Sunday for part two. I'm sorry, just have to extend the trip. But I really would encourage you that you go home from all of our sharing today, the things that Sean has shared, the things that we've prayed together, the things that we have shared in our concerns together, the songs that we have sung of worshiping God, and that part of your pondering would be in agreement with God. Father, I am agreeing with you that this is definitely a year of growth. This is not a year when I wish to grow. There's no power in wishes. Despite what some Christmas movie might have told you. There is no power in wishes. There is power in a truth-based agreement with a living God who's spoken something. And part of what he's spoken here is he's saying, I'm joyfully prepared for your growth. And then Paul reminds us, and I can't do that alone. I do that because Jesus Christ dwells within me. And Paul reminds, and then Peter reminds us, because God has prepared promises and majestic resources for us to grow in the divine nature. And the rest of that passage we will look at The rest of that passage gets very behavioral. He's not just staying in the fluffy doctrine. He's saying, now, if you comprehend this possibility of growth in the divine nature, now pursue these things. These will change us as we pursue these things. They don't leave us where we are just feeling better. They change us. But they're based on a supernatural preparation, a supernatural commitment to our growth, and we get to claim and agree with that growth. So as you're going into the afternoon, as you're looking ahead to 2017, that you and I get to be saying, Father, this will definitely be a year of spiritual growth for me. This will definitely be a year of my growth in your gifting. Everybody here in the body of Christ is gifted to minister in some way. Whether you minister here on a Sunday morning, whether you minister through the week in the lives of other believers, whether you minister in the life of non-believers, every believer in this room is gifted for ministry. And we get to predict with God and agree with God, this will be a year where I grow. Put your name in there. This will be a year where I grow in my gifting and maturity of ministry. Because, Father, you're prepared for that, and I'm going to cooperate. Let's pray. Father, it's always true that we barely understand the majestic things you're saying, but Father, they are majestic and they're powerful and they're true. And we get to keep going deeper. And Father, you know us. You know how easily we become discouraged when we rely on our own power, our own strength. And that even in good motives, we can neglect the conversation and rely on self, rely on our own insight, our own ability to get through the moment and deal with the moment. Father, I thank you that you are excited and joyful about my year of growth. You really are, Father. And I thank you that your excitement, your joy of preparation applies to every single believer in this room. You are joyfully prepared for our growth. And Father, you know all our histories of failure. You know all our histories of laziness. You know all our histories of sin or getting sidetracked or neglecting the basics of what you've offered us. And none of that discourages you. Father, help us to comprehend that with you. None of that discourages you. You are still joyfully excited about our growth. And we ask that in cooperation with your Spirit and because of your Spirit dwelling within us, that we would begin confidently predicting our growth with you and because of you for the year ahead. Individually and as a church, we agree with you that this is a year of growth, Father. In Jesus' name and authority, amen.
This service hasn't run long enough, so I'm going to drag it on some more. Actually, two quick things. One is, after we're done, we are having the potluck, and so if all of the strong and heroic men would take it upon themselves to put away the chairs and get the tables set up, Cheryl will take charge if you have any questions, right? You're the boss? Yeah, she's the boss.
Not really.
she's not a very good boss, but she's a boss nonetheless, so go to her. If you just get things cleaned up so we can eat, and...